Professor Andrew Dempster is the director of Australian Centre for Space Engineering and Research in the School of Electrical Engineering and Telecommunications at UNSW. So after graduating from the University of Cambridge, he's specialised in signalling processing arithmetic. He's a systems engineer and project manager for the first GPS receiver developed in Australia. And in the late 80s, he's been involved in satellite navigation ever since. Currently, his research interests are in satellite navigation, receiver design and signal processing, areas in which he has 6 patents, and new location technologies. He's leading the development of space engineering research at ASA. Please welcome Professor Dempster.
Thanks very much. You'll be pleased to hear I'm only going to make one presentation. I'm going to do that as quickly as I can so that we can actually get to the question bit. But before we get going, I'm just going to show you a little video. There's our CubeSats being deployed from the space station. There's 3 of them in a row. The back one is ours. That went out at 3:30 yesterday. Thank you, but that was the last that we saw or heard of it. get your applause in now. I've just spoken to my team before the presentation, and we are hoping that there's still a few options left that can. They are not. They're still. They haven't given up hope. Okay, so just for a bit of repetition, I'm going to answer all the same questions that Peter just did, but hopefully I'm going to fill in some numbers, some extra numbers. But they're the questions, and I think they're the questions in that order that we need to be thinking about. Do we need a space industry, a space policy, a space program, a space agency? So even the satellite utilization policy recognizes that the old space industry is important, and they point out that for various important things in the economy, having a space industry is important. Now, my own area of research is GPS, and this is a study that was done in the US a few years ago. 18 critical infrastructure sectors in their economy were studied. 15 of them required GPS timing, the other 3 used GPS positioning. So, in other words, the entire economy sits on GPS. Now, you could probably make the same argument for satellite communications, you could probably make the same argument for remote sensing for weather and that sort of thing. So space is fundamental to what we do. And the good news for us in Australia is space 2.0. The way that space, the industry, is being disrupted at the moment offers us a huge opportunity, and we're going to probably hear more about this from Tim. We've already heard some of it from Troy. That this low-cost and rapid access to space and the way that agencies are becoming differently important to space is really quite something that we should be trying to exploit, given that we actually don't have an agency. And there are some big numbers here, right? So the annual growth rate of 20% in the small satellite industry, 70% of these are going to be commercial by 2023. I imagine Tim's going to be baffling with some more numbers as well. Now, some people might argue that Australia shouldn't be really worrying about space at all, because 90% of our space industry is non-civilian, in other words, in defence and security or whatever. But, you know, other countries that have a space industry which is a bit bigger than ours do it better, because they have a huge civilian industry that supports their defence sector. So this is totally unbalanced, but what it means is we can massively grow this, and the defence people are actually going to be quite pleased about it, which was the sort of response that I got from them 2 weeks ago. Now, when we talk about space, when I'm talking about space, I'm talking about upstream, assets in space. Australia's always been very strong in downstream processing of data that comes down from these satellites, as I think it was Peter was saying, that these are data that we get for free, probably not for much longer. So let's jump, forget the old way of doing space, and look at this space 2.0 as an option. Now, the good thing is this is already happening, and there's a number of examples here, one of which you've just seen, the real CubeSats built in this country being launched. This is the one you just saw. in the UNSW lab. This is another one which went out this afternoon. So that's one which was a collaboration between Sydney Uni as the lead on that, ANU and UNSW. That's our one with its instrument. There's very few photographs of it with the instrument. It's part of an international program where there's an international instrument carried on each of them, and we can carry our own payloads to do our own experiments. On the same launch, so three Australian CubeSats in the QB50 program were taken to the space station to be deployed. On the same Cygnus that took them up was a satellite called Biari, which was built under the Five Eyes program, so the Anglosphere, UK, US, Canada, New Zealand, Australia. Australia's contribution to that was a GPS receiver built by a couple of my researchers, and that was actually deployed, we think, last week. We don't need to know. But it has been deployed. It was deployed first before the others. We're making payloads. You can see these are all CubeSat style payloads, 10 centimetres by 10 centimetres by 10 centimetres, and we're looking at commercialising some of this stuff ourselves. That deployment yesterday from the space station, I missed it because I was actually pitching investors for a little startup we're trying to do on GPS reflectometry. It's where you use GPS reflections from the ground to do remote sensing. So there's the Cygnus taking CubeSats up to the space station. And what's next? Yeah, controlling our CubeSat. But we've got, we'll also be looking at the Sydney Uni one. We'll be running experiments on that. We'll be running experiments on the defence Biari satellite. What that satellite's trying to do is it's using laser ranging, and our GPS is providing truth for the laser ranger. So what should happen is that the GPS will give you a sort of rough position, and the laser ranger should give you a nice line straight through the middle of the position. And we've got other experiments on that as well. We've heard about Fleet and Gilmore Space. I think they were not mentioned by name earlier, but these are the companies that are getting investment. I think probably Tim's probably going to expand on that later. But these are all Australian companies doing Space 2.0 work who are funded, making sales, and are viable businesses already. I don't know, what's the last count? 36 something? There's many startups that we could be talking about. These are the ones who are leading the way at the moment. So let's talk about space policy. Here is what purports to be a space policy in Australia. If you search this for the word CubeSat, no matches are found, right? If you look for any mentions on Space 2.0 at all, this is a direct quote. this is the response. So when they asked the community for a response to this document, and we went to the trouble of telling them, well, this has got 20th century assumptions and so on. Not a word was changed in this after they asked the community for feedback. They're actually saying things in that document like, oh, we actually don't want to do launch, we don't want to make satellites. So basically our response was get out of the way, right? You know, the policy at the moment is actually a negative document. What we need to be thinking about is what we are going to do and having a bit of strategy, right? The current response from the government is the Space Activities Act, and there's been quite a lot of feedback about that, but it's a regulatory document, right? Again, there's no strategy there. So we can't let them get away with trying to palm that off as a policy. Australia at the moment lacks policy in this area. So I've now written four conversation articles about space agencies, how Australia might go about, why Australia needs an agency, what models we could use to build it, how to fix industry and so on. One of them is 10 reasons why we need an agency. There they all are. I was going to highlight the best ones, but then I realised they're all pretty good. But what that means is, you know, they're all good. Any of those reasons is good enough. There's 10. I've sort of given some advice, and I'm quite pleased that some of this advice has actually been picked up on where I would go if I was trying to put an agency together. Some of that's turned up in the white paper. Now, Australia is the world's largest economy without a space agency. There were only two countries in the OECD which didn't have an agency. And Andrea reliably informs me that Iceland is now going to get one. So why is New Zealand crossed out? We saw why earlier, right? Rocket Lab came along. made it impossible for New Zealand to deal with them without having some sort of proper regulatory framework and agency to deal with this new business. Now, there's a lesson for us. Make it impossible for them not to have an agency. Now, I've spent a bit of time looking at what shape it would take. This is the Canadian agency. I don't know how good you can see this, but this is space utilisation, space exploration, and space science. Now, my recommendation has been, forget exploration, right? We've had a lot of talk tonight about dreams and so on. Forget dreaming, right? Let's get down to reality. Let's make money, right? I'm with Troy. Make money, right? What can we use space for that's going to benefit our economy? Science, yeah, that's all very nice. Make that phase two. Human space exploration, future, space phase three. They're not going to go for that stuff, right? The decadal plan, which has the space science decadal plan, which has in it a giant satellite they're going to crash into the sun, guess what? How popular is that going to be in Parliament House? It's not going to happen, right? Tell them we're going to make money, everyone loves it. So let's do that. In the UK, these are the structure charts, right? So that was Canadian. This is the UK Space Agency. There are two subgroups there. This one called Growth is quite good. The stuff that's in here, you can almost grab the lot. Gateway Development Manager, That's where they're putting their own spaceport in Scotland. Space technology, applications, industrial strategy, telecom strategy, Earth observation, education and skills. That's all good stuff, right? In the Programs Directorate, again, science, exploration, no, thanks. But the others, yes. That's my recommendation. You can argue with me later. That's what I'm going to sit out here for. Now, when we talk about program, that sort of relies on the other things existing, right? Now, should we have a program? Well, let's say you have a country, and that country is responsible for 1/8 of the Earth's surface for search and rescue, aviation, air traffic control. This is what Australia is responsible for predicting cyclones. The rest, of, you know, all the way down to Antarctica, I haven't even included all that yet. 1/6 of the Earth, if you include all of the Antarctic territories. And you've got the second lowest population density after Namibia in the world. Who should be the leader in space? This country here. Not exactly where we stand at the moment, right? In terms of a program, we sort of do already, right? But it's buried. Here's $1 billion spent on that defence satellite in the Defence Department, all the money spent overseas. $2 billion in the Communications Department spent overseas, which makes it very difficult to work out if you did have a decent satellite program. This is a program I worked on earlier. Quite a big amount of money, right? But if that satellite, this satellite here was going to map Australia, 10 metre resolution every 3 days for soil moisture. How much soil moisture is in the top 5 centimetres of the soil? The whole country, every 3 days. If that data could improve the efficiency of non-irrigated agriculture, you know, forget irrigated agriculture for the moment, this is worth $50 billion. By 0.3%, satellite pays for itself if you think about it as infrastructure. But how would that happen without the structure to make it happen, right? So anyway, the answers to my questions are, a 21st century country needs a space industry. We don't have a space policy. Space program probably depends on the other things. And, you know, I've given the reasons. So I think we've had these before, but I think this is what I would suggest for you to do, right? Set up a company. Put yourself in a position to put pressure on the government. And what talks is money. That's the end.
Excellent.